Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
I once read an interesting book. It said that most people lost in the wilds, they die of shame.
What?
Yeah. See, they die of shame. What did I do wrong? How could I have gotten myself into this? And so they sit there and they die. Because they didn't do the one thing which would have saved their lives.
And what is that, Charles?
Thinking.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes. 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 I think very deeply. I think very deeply.
Cedric Muhammad.
I think very deeply. I think very deeply.
Cedric Muhammad.
Seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Cedric Muhammad.
Let us begin. What, where, why, or when? We'll all be explained like instructions to a game. See, I'm not insane. In fact, I'm kind of rational. When I be asking you, who is more dramatic, this one or that one? The white one or the black one? Black the punk and I'll jump up to attack one. Terrorist one is just a gotta lead a crew. Right up to your face and diss you. Everyone saw me on the last album cover. Holding a pistol, something far from a lover. Beside my brother, S-C-O-T-T. I just laugh, cause no one can defeat me. This is lecture number two, my philosophy. Number one was poetry, you know it's me. You know it's my philosophy, many artists gotta learn. I'm not flammable, I don't burn. So please stop burning and learn to earn respect. Cause that's just what K.R. collects. See, what do you expect when you rhyme like a soft pump? You walk down the street and get jumped. My posse from the Bronx is thick. In real life, we roll correctly. A lot of suckers would like to forget me, but they can't. Cause like a champ, I have got a record of knocking out the frauds in a second. On the mic, I believe that you should get loose. I haven't come to tell you I got juice. I just produce, create, innovate on a higher level. I'll be back, but for now, just settle.
Seconds, a teacher will begin to speak. Cedric
Muhammad. June 10th, 2009. Cedric Muhammad, Black Coffee Program. I want to welcome you. Yeah, I do have a posse from the Bronx. Don't get me started on my NYC affiliations. I want to thank you for joining me. If you are a first-time listener or viewer, you are the most important person in the room. I'll give you time to figure out what that crescent stands for. A lot of different meanings for the crescent. A lot of people don't even that wear it don't even understand it. Same thing with the star. A lot of us wear stars, not knowing what that signifies. First of all, I want to apologize to all of Black Coffee Nation, all of the commentators. We had problems with the comment box last week. Hopefully, I'm assuming it's working. Last time I checked, you could type in the comments. I may read some of what you all were conveying last week. A lot of good posts. Even Tasha from Miami was in the building. So shame on me for missing that moment. A lot to go over. Speaking of Miami, I want to get into the reality of Miami Gardens. Is this a modern day miracle or a mirage? The supposed resurrection of Miami Gardens. I am back in the fight business. I will be making a prediction on the Joshua Claudie Miguel Cotto fight Saturday night. I'm back in the business. If you have a fight prediction, let me know. The fan page is on Facebook. If you want to check out some of my notes and the comments, you get to see who some of the more active listeners are. Many of you have become my personal friends on Facebook. But I'll be writing a lot more, sharing more of my thoughts. And that's the forum where I want more of us to interact. Not my personal Facebook page, which is out of control with my friends. ridiculous. You can type in Cedric Muhammad in Facebook and you'll see the crescent, as well as my personal name. But click the crescent. That's where I want you to join. Join the show page. Many of you are friends of mine personally, but not fans or friends of the show. Rectify that. Nick Cannon. I'm going to salute Nick Cannon today for his... That's a man who's comfortable in his skin, if I ever seen one. The illustrious Nick Cannon. Let me show you all something. See this letter right here? This was a letter mailed to me from Brooklyn, one of our readers on the CedricMuhammad.com site. He took issue with one of my pieces called "Obama Triangulates While His Base Only Murmurs." He wrote me a nice letter, 1.25 pages, bringing it to me. Ronald Crenshaw from Brooklyn. I'm going to read your letter today. Got at me. Some of you all are being laid off and fired from your jobs. Others are quitting to pursue a passion. I'm going to talk to you about why that's so important. And let me take this opportunity to ask for some of your help. My book is coming along nicely. We're still on target for a August release date. I'm targeting Marcus Garvey's birthday. If you would like to read some of my book in advance and help me out at the same time, I want another set of eyes, a lot of different eyes. I want some of you to proof. I mean, look, you know how I get sometimes. Look for the most ridiculous pronunciations, grammar, spelling. I'm pretty good when I write. But if you'd like to get a piece of the 15 chapters in advance and would like to proof that I've already given about 4 different people pieces of the book. I'm looking for females and males for different reasons. Glenn from Philly, he got like 4 chapters. Glenn from Philly is like, what's that unit I used to call it? My business guerrilla commando unit. Glenn is like 4 horsemen, put it to you that way. If I'm Tully Blanchard, what would Glenn from Philly be? I had to give that some thought. But send me an email directly, cedric@blackcoffeechannel.com, if you would like to proof a chapter. I will not send you more than that. I won't even tell you the title of the book. But some of you are great writers and have expressed an interest. I just sent 2 chapters, a chapter on suffering and willpower, to one of my brothers down in North Carolina. I sent a chapter on relationships to a sister in Maryland. Sister in San Diego, I sent her about 4 chapters as well. This is a very, very heavy book. I've been working on this really off and on for 3 years. So we'll talk about the importance of striking out now if you are an entrepreneur or a professional that is about to become or is becoming an entrepreneur by necessity. I'm going to have a little fun today. I'm going to find out who can give the greetings of peace and paradise better. 2 very well-known figures are giving the greetings to Muslim audiences, and we will critique their delivery. And then I'll get into some of the meaning of the greeting in Islam. I'm going to critique President Obama's speech. If you haven't read it already, I wrote an essay at CedricMuhammad.com critiquing President Obama's speech to the Muslim world last week. Take a look at that. Cuba. I'm going to revisit something that I've dealt with in years past, and that is why the Cuban economy and most socialist or communist influenced economies can't get the money right, the currency right. So they have pricing problems. Cuba, if you haven't heard, rationing food, being hurt by the economic crisis like every other nation. But those countries who are especially dependent upon trade with the United States or other countries where they get foreign exchange, Europe and Canada, in the case of Cuba, that you're in bad shape right now. If you've been stacking up foreign currency and use it to pay for things like oil, which are denominated in dollars, you're in trouble. So we'll talk a little bit about Cuba as well as Malawi, what is going on in Africa and Malawi. Shout to Amos Oriku in Kenya. He may be listening right now, watching me. Do you know what those numbers on your fruit mean? When you pick up an apple or an orange or a banana and there's a number on it, barcode type situation, what do those numbers stand for? I'm going to break that down for some of you non-organic folk or just people who don't know. All right. So look, if the comment box is working, let me check on it. Anyone want to greet me at the door? Feel free to do so. I'm going to talk about the game last night and the stopper, the illustrious Michael Petras. Woo, Kobe, you was looking real ordinary last night, my brother. Real regular, extended to the bonus. What rapper said that? Kobe was looking real regular last night. Real regular. Also, I want to talk today about the medical condition of Brother Jibril Muhammad, who is no stranger to anyone who really listens to the show or has followed blackallegia.com. Many of you don't know who Brother Jibril is. I will try as best I can to, I don't want to say introduce him, just give you some information about him so you can get a better understanding of how valuable, how loved, and how important, although he shuns publicity, he shuns titles. That's why everybody knows him as Brother Jibril. He does not have title-itis. One of the few black people I've met who does not have title-itis. We'll talk about Brother Jibril Muhammad and his condition called aphasia. If you want to get a preview, you can log on to www.aphasia.org. to understand more just about aphasia, and then there's a couple other websites I'll point you to as we move through the show. So I think I have done what many of you accuse me of not doing, which is introducing the topics of discussion and then faithfully maintaining my commitment to cover them. My brother even tells me, he said, Cedric, you cover about 80% of what you say you're going to talk about. So I'm looking for an executive producer still. Oh, Julian Marley and 311, 311, a Caucasian rock group very near and dear to my heart. I'll explain why. It goes back to my Wu-Tang days. Oh, speaking of Wu-Tang, got a nice call from Divine. RZA's brother, Divine may be listening. Brother, another one who shuns light and publicity. Divine and I had a good talk. I won't tell you all about what on Friday. Mind your business. Now, I won't name the person. I will try to veil who I'm talking about. Some of you may know the person. But I was asked to provide a job reference. I'll say it like that, a reference for someone who has a great opportunity before them. And, you know, I decided to make this the subject of my rant for hour number one, my opening rant. Personal credibility. More valuable than money. I know many of you don't really believe that, but it is quite true. I had the chance to serve as a reference for someone. And while I was representing, answering questions about this person and representing what it is that I think of them, I began to realize I could not actually have made up the stuff I was saying. It was so true. I couldn't have made up anything more complimentary to enhance this person's character, competence, reputation, credibility. And this is a woman. I'll explain why that's maybe a little bit more important to focus on. Many of us right now losing our money, losing our homes, material possessions. God damn it, this is Jamiroquai. I want to talk about why I'm converting. I have a friend, Saki. I call him Saki. I went to college with Saki. Saki is a big Jamiroquai supporter, brother. I want to apologize to you today and salute Jamiroquai. I am a convert largely because of this track right here. I mean, you may see me at an amphitheater this summer with a chew stick in my mouth and caramel cider in my left hand at a Jamiroquai event. If you're down with Jamiroquai, holler. What are the guy on VH1, Hallelujah, Holler Back? Send me a note. If you are a Jamiroquai hater as I was up until last week, let me know. Now back to the story. So I had an opportunity to serve as a character reference for this person. Could not. There were things I wanted to say about this person that I couldn't even say. So I just want to use that as an opportunity to encourage you all right now who may be down on your luck, so to speak, who may be going through some turmoil. Keep a good name. Do a good job. Act the way you should act if everyone was looking when no one is looking. A good name is worth more than gold. And in this day and time, if you have credibility, a good reputation and a good name, people are going to be looking for you. You are now more valuable in the marketplace. Can I get an amen? You are now or about to be soon to become the most sought after person in the room. Now, let me add another ingredient for the women, the feminine side of God, listening to this show, the sisters. This was a woman that I was being a character reference for. She happens to be very attractive. Okay. Now, I know for a fact that this person could have used, like many beautiful women, she could have used her attractive magnetic powers, her mesmerizing abilities, to be further along than she is right now, arguably. How pretty is she? Now, for those women out there who are, I don't say that you're not beautiful. Every woman is. Hey, what was the name of that talk Minister Farrakhan gave? The immeasurable value. Somebody give me the title. I want to say it right. Every woman has beauty. I'm talking about exterior, physical. Okay. The adornments, as the Quran so beautifully puts it. A lot of beautiful women out there who abuse or cannot manage their attractive powers over men. Earning for themselves not just hellfire, but positions that they don't deserve, and getting themselves into quandaries that manifest later when it turns out that you were not hired, or you were not sought after, or someone that people wanted to collaborate with or associate with because of your character or because of your professional competence, but you were hired because you were pleasing to the eye. Nothing wrong with being pleasing to the eye. It's a gift and a curse, all right? So this person is very attractive, but shuns what that has brought, what that could have brought. So for that reason, I even wanted to be even more effusive in my praise. So many of you all want me to be a character witness for you. This is how you do it. You act right. But I want to applaud all of you out there who are seeking new employment. People have to serve as references. You don't want somebody to have to sit there and lie when they say good things about you. Me and this person, we almost had a 25-minute conversation talking about this individual. Okay. I will be a reference for you all, but just don't have me lying. Don't give me no script. Comment box working. So far, so good. We did a show last year about the difference between fashion and beauty from a 1962 Muhammad Speaks article. The difference between fashion and beauty. There is a difference. I may pull that article out. Michael Petras or Mikal Petras had Kobe looking real regular last night. Let me let you all get a good look if you're watching at my brother from France. What country is he from? Has to be from Africa or the Caribbean. Let me know. Kobe got stripped by this brother. This brother did a beautiful illegal follow-up dunk slash goaltending on behalf of his team. Yes, the ball was in the cylinder, and he decided it was international rules, not NBA rules. He plays in France, I believe. He said, hey, this looks like international ball. Let me jump in there and dunk this. Unless the NBA has changed their rules, that was an illegal maneuver. But my brother, you played big last night. You came up big. You were a PTP, a prime time performer, as my man Dickie V says. You were fearless. And even though the double agent who serves as your coach, Stan, not the man, Van Gundy, tried again to ruin Rafer Alston's all-star performance by putting Jameer Nelson in at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Did y'all see that? Does Stan, not the man, Van Gundy, have something against Queens and Philly? On my fan page at for this show at Facebook, I mentioned how this man took out Jameer Nelson and Rafer, skip to my loop, Alston, and put in J.J. Redick, who I wish the Philadelphia 76ers would sign. We traded Reggie Evans yesterday, you Sixers fans. This new coach who did nothing for the Washington Wizards down here. One good thing about him already is he's going to break up this. I don't know what this is that we have with the 76ers, where we think we're too good to trade certain people, but we always end up at 500. Good sign. Also, Andre Iguodala, I caught you on ESPN. ESPN News last night after the game. You were very impressive. Anybody see Andre Iguodala from the University of Arizona, Philadelphia 76er? Great. He was awesome. Articulate, composed, and insightful. Andre Iguodala. But Mikal Petras. Mikal, I don't know how to say this thing right. Brother, you are officially designated as the stopper. June 10th, 2009. It's the hottest show in the diaspora. This goes out to Mr. Petras, who put it on lockdown. Had Kobe a Fred last night. We'll be right back.
Man, me praise of the Almighty Jaja. Jaja give me strength and him give me the power. That's why he got the ranking.
To the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel. You are tuned in to the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Some of them are worried, some of them are fret. Some of them are fret, me got this tapper.
Kobe, he was shut down last night, brother, at the end. Anyone who plays their role, last night's performance by this brother was incredible. Kobe was frazzled.
Now fire your hair, put it rank in a bum, 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 bum. Fire your hair, put it rank in a bum. Till you fire your hair, put it rank in a bum. And me say, me ragamuffin and me international. To kill a DJ, me do impartial. Right and no German, me got the credential. Now when me come a dance, I'll say me well official. Me got this tapper, 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 tapper. To every DJ, them up it talk to me proper. Second and put it rank in, go and go kill him with the lingua. Till you put it rank in, full of a stamina.
Thank you. Very nice comments coming in regarding Brother Jabril Muhammad. If you care to continue to send those in, they're very welcome. talk a little bit later about Brother Jabril's condition of aphasia. And there's an update at blackelectric.com, which you can read. I'm going to read it on air. I might give my little 2 cents here or there where I'm qualified to do so. Aphasia, though. Some of you all have family members who have been faced with this condition. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Yes, this is Jamiroquai. And from the early response, it looks like many of you all are longtime Jamiroquai supporters, cult members. I thought it was always something a little funny about the supporters of this group. But now I now have been converted. Maurice from Philadelphia says, "Peace," said Jamiroquai are a great band. If you like tracks like the one you are playing, it's one of two instrumentals on their albums. Yes. I'm even crossing over to the non-instrumental tracks. Dawood from Dawood City, Dayton, Ohio. He says, "Oh yes, I love Jamiroquai. My favorite tune was Virtual Reality." This one is called Digital Vibrations. I'm going to say peace to Robin Howell tuning in from Columbus, Ohio. Peace, Robin. She says, "Thanks for the continued knowledge." Thank you for your continued presence. Shane from Houston believes that MP, Mikhail or Michael Petrius, is from Angola. He's guessing. I have no idea. He thinks that the Orlando Magic are going to win in 7. He's out of his mind. What's up with the mayor of New Orleans? Is he still quarantined in China? Another comment, story that got everyone's attention. I don't underestimate your interest level in certain topics, even in this era of Obama mania, which crowds out discussion of other worthwhile discussions. But this story that we sent out about young children being drugged up, given psychiatric drugs to supposedly calm them or to manage their emotional state or psychological problems in the school system, elementary school children, it got everyone's attention. Let me play the story now. This is about a sister out in a young lady out in Las Vegas, I believe, Nevada. Many of you all have experience with this. I do too. Well, we can talk about this. I'm going to get into this right now because your interest level is peaked. This is running rampant in the school system, in these academies, the drugging of our young people who appear to be quote unquote a little off. Big topic. We can spend some real time on this. For those of you that don't know, I actually think discussions like this are much more important than the kind of ideological discussion we get into watching cable programs, etc. This is from Vegas.
Powerful mood-altering drugs are being prescribed to a startling number of kids in the care of Nevada's child welfare agencies.
An I-team review of state insurance records uncovered the phenomenon and discovered it is really not unique to our state. I-team reporter Colleen McCarty has the details of her exclusive investigation.
Well, concern about the increased use of psychotropic medications among foster children and those in the juvenile justice system has prompted calls for oversight at the state and national levels. Kids like the young woman you're about to meet are the reason why. Instead of counseling, she says doctors treated her emotional scars with a chemical straitjacket.
Hi, guys.
Remember that kid in school who had all the answers?
No, it was about a girl who told her story or whatever.
In Mr. Moy's honors history class, her name is Saida Brown.
It right here says in the book, Methodist Health.
The Coronado High School sophomore values education, like first-time drivers cherish their wheels.
What makes it click with me that I have to get an education is because I know how it is to live in poverty.
Born to a drug-addicted mom, Saida entered foster care at 14 years old when a family member discovered she was cutting herself. Frequent admissions to mental health facilities followed, along with multiple psychiatric diagnoses.
I was on so many medications. I they had me on medications that zoned me out. Like, my grades in school mean so much to me, and they would send me to school on Thorazine.
On Seroquel, Haldol, and Depakote, just to name a few, says Saida, powerful mood-altering drugs, some of them not approved for use on children.
The medicine was making it worse, and I was like, I don't need any pharmaceuticals to help me, you know, cope with life. I just need someone to sit down and talk to me, you know?
An iTeam review of state insurance records suggests Saida's experience is not unique. In 2007, one in five kids in the custody of state or county agencies was prescribed one or more psychotropic medications, including more than 80 children 5 years old or younger taking powerful antipsychotic drugs.
I think that's too many.
Dr. Norton Reutman is a child psychiatrist.
The risk is that we just don't know the long-term effects of many of these pharmaceuticals on kids because it's not really measured. The antipsychotics in particular.
Reutman is among a growing chorus seeking more oversight of the process by which children in the system receive medication. A bill before the state legislature would require parental consent or court approval before psychotropic drugs can be used on the youngest foster kids.
It's just like in grammar school. You got to show your work. You have to show that you've gone through the necessary steps in order to overprescribe. Really, in order to put a kid at risk, you have to be able to justify that.
Reutman acknowledges, of course, some children benefit from medication, but insists a lack of resources contributes to overuse.
I decided that I wasn't going to be a guinea pig anymore.
With the support of her foster mom and a talk therapist, Saida stopped taking her pills.
That was kind of my turning point when I started to get on track.
Saida's fellow students recently elected her junior class president.
Girl, I'm famous, girl.
And her academic achievement puts her among the top of her class.
What are you doing? I totally didn't mean that.
At 17 years old, she may not really have all the answers, but Saida will be the first to tell you she has some of them.
Everything is not going to be okay unless you push yourself to keep going.
Clark County Family Services Director Tom Morton has conducted his own research into this issue. Among his findings, 55 children in county custody under the age of 6 are on psychotropic medications, including among them a 2-year-old diagnosed with 3 different disorders taking 5 different drugs. Policy changes are underway to keep the agency more informed about what kids are taking, and in the future, all medication requests will be renewed by clinical staff.
Some amazing facts
Boy,
in there.
Yeah.
Where does the legislation stand?
Well, at the moment, there are 2 competing bills. Mm-hmm. One would require new policies. The other would allow for some court intervention. And it's unclear at this point which one is going to make it out.
Thanks, Colleen.
Cedric Muhammad, Black Coffee Program. Now, listen. Psychotropic drugs, whatever, given to 2-year-olds. Now, is this something President Obama is going to have to take care of for us? Or is this something we're supposed to just do with a vice-like grip over the school system or whatever academies, private institutions we send our young people? That's what it feels like to me. Is appropriate. Doping up our young people. You got drug addict. Maybe, you know what? I take back everything I said about Eminem's album last week. Matter of fact, I'm going to remove the ban. I'm going to remove the ban on Eminem's music, which I imposed last week. We're going to play Eminem today because Eminem seems to be the only person who knows these drugs inside out. Let me read an email I got from a friend and brother of mine who actually has a background in this, as some of you all do from the comments you're sending in. Perhaps some of your young loved ones, family members, friends, children of friends of yours have been doped up, given psychiatric drugs. Brother Jerome, friend of mine from Philly, he sent me this before the show. He says, yo, well, assalamu alaikum, and then yo. Now, how does that? Assalamu alaikum, yo. Brother Cedric, I have a background in counseling youth and once worked in a therapeutic foster care agency as a clinical counselor. The horror stories I could tell. Not only did my caseload assign me the responsibility to monitor foster care parents, but I also counseled the foster care kids and was given the responsibility of making sure each child received their medication. This is how it worked. Each doctor would write a bunch of medical scripts for each child for whatever his or her psychotropic drug was. I would be given all these scripts for meds to be given to their foster parents as needed. I can't tell you how many late night calls I received requesting scripts for meds. I had, in effect, become a drug dealer. I've worked for a bunch of agencies where psychotropic drugs were described or prescribed. I know kids that have been taking meds since they were 4 years old, and when I got the kid, he was 8 years old in a basket case and prone to suicide. Also, I would go to public school nurses, and there would be a line outside of her door of kids waiting for her to administer their daily drugs. What has happened in schools is if your child is a problem, the teacher will say this child needs medication, later resulting in the medicating of this child, when all this kid needed was counseling or therapy, something the government is no longer willing to pay for. Hold up. Remember the young lady in Nevada who was on the drugs prescribed? She said she didn't need drugs. All she wanted was somebody to talk to her. Well, here Jerome is saying the same thing. He says, what has happened in schools is if your child is a problem, the teacher will say this child needs medication, later resulting in the medicating of this child when all this kid needed was counseling or therapy, something that the government is no longer willing to pay for. I remember a Hispanic biological mom who was married to a Turkish Muslim who I had to report because she medicated one of her kids to the point where he or we'd be having a session and the kid would start nodding like he was suffering from a heroin drug habit. This is an 8-year-old. You should check out Peter R. Bregan, MD, and Ginger Ross Bregan's book, The War Against Children of Color: Psychiatry Targets Inner City Youth. Look up their website. Look up what Frederick Goodwin, at the time the United States government's highest ranking psychiatrist, who compared black kids to monkeys and publicly said the government's response should take this analysis into consideration. Psychotropic drugs should be the response. I think in 1992, he worked for the National Institute of Mental Health. His entire statement that he had later apologized for, I think, was published in the Washington Post in 1992 and is in the above book, The War Against Children of Color: Psychiatry Targets Inner City Youth. You should read the entire statement on air. If you need it, let me know and I will type it and send it. He says, you have brought back horrible memories. Now, I got a comment a little earlier. From Joseph in Brooklyn, who says that the show prep, this story about the foster children on psychiatric drugs, it brought back memories of him to the New York City ACS AIDS drug trial scandal. He says, hopefully you can speak on it or I will send you info if you need it. Thank you. You both, you know, send this stuff to Cedric at blackcoffeechannel.com. But what I would prefer is that the fans of the show can have a discussion about this on the Facebook page that we have set up for the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee program. So Joseph and Jerome's information, I can post it or they can post it if they're friends. Now, according to what Brother Jay from Philly is saying, government money is no longer available for the kind of counseling and therapy that would really help these young people. Now, he says, also check this shiggity out. medication on TV comes like a warning. There is no warnings about the side effects of these drugs given to the parents. In addition, you take a child that has been on meds for 3 or 4 years. What happens when you take him or her off meds? What about withdrawal? There are no studies that I'm aware of that look into the aftermath of being medicated for a bunch of years. Another question, does the propensity for drug addiction increase with young people who grew up on these meds? One more thing, doctors are encouraged by pharmaceutical manufacturers to push these drugs. I can't tell you how many doctor offices I've been in with calendars and advertisements plastered on their walls promoting these damnable drugs. Tom Cruise was right. He just didn't have the I would say testicular fortitude or support to stick to his guns. Anyone have a similar background, witness, or engagement with this issue? I know up in New Jersey, heavy, they're big on medication up there for any child that has some type of issue. Now, he says Tom Cruise was right. Who had the power to make Tom Cruise look like an angry white man? I mean, was Tom Cruise onto something and everybody allowed him to be laughed? I mean, he had to come back and apologize on the Today Show a couple years later to keep his movie career intact. What was he going off about? Ritalin? Like to hear your horror stories. I know up in Jersey, they big on prescribing this stuff. So a little homework for the class. Peter R. Breggin, B-R-E-G-G-I-N, and Ginger Ross Breggin, B-R-E-G-G-I-N, the book, The War Against Children of Color, Psychiatry Targets Inner City Youth. And then look into these comments made by Frederick Goodwin, G-O-O-D-W-I-N, G-O-O-D-W-I-N. Frederick Goodwin. Could you form a movement around something like this? I mean, I'm asking you sincerely. Everyone would agree that this is horrific. But I don't think you could form a movement around this because of the way that we are controlled by political modalities, left, right, center, and the whacktivism that takes place in the name of activism. Why doesn't this ever come up? See, this is one of those issues where there really is no left, right, center. It's a straight hustle from very powerful people in the ruling class, and it's a conspiracy that goes all the way from the pharmaceutical companies down to the doctors and the teachers. And don't think that these principals are not encouraged to classify students as special in order to justify budgetary expenditures. Oh, yeah. If you have police force chiefs who are pressured to boost drug-related arrests as a category in order to get a city or county to qualify for increased budgetary resources from the state or federal government, you mean to tell me you don't have agents inside the school system, principals, superintendents, teachers, guidance counselors who are on the take, encouraged to classify children as problematic or special in order to boost funding? Who prescribes the drugs for these young people in these schools? You can't build no movement around this, though, because it ain't left, right, center. You can't make an evil Republican out of this. You can't make a wild-eyed radical on the left out of this. CNN, MSNBC, and Fox are not going to report it factually. Only the local news. This was a local news story. Let me run it back from the top for those of you that got a late pass. By the way, let me salute. I think I had the best listeners. James from Philadelphia. He says, what up, said, I may be too late in answering your rap quotable, but the MC that you quoted would be Cool Keith, 1/4 of the illustrious Ultramagnetic MCs. Yes, I said regular extended to the bonus. What was that? Regular extended to the bonus. I only gave him 5 words. James from Philly knew that was the song Funky by the Ultramagnetic MCs. Evidently, he is not on psychotropic medication. Let me run this story back from the top. Let me put the sister, is it Sadia or Saida? Listen to how intelligent she sounds. They had her doped up. Look at the giant that she's become. Look at the young people out there that don't get a second chance like she has. This could be your child. Imagine if this was your child. How would you feel?
Powerful move.
mood-altering drugs are being prescribed to a startling number of kids in the care of Nevada's child welfare agency.
An I-Team review of state insurance records uncovered the phenomenon and discovered it is really not unique to our state. I-Team reporter Colleen McCarty has the details of her exclusive investigation.
Well, a concern about the increased use of psychotropic medications among foster children and those in the juvenile justice system has prompted calls for oversight at the state and national levels. Kids like the young woman you're about to meet are the reason why. Instead of counseling, she says doctors treated her emotional scars with a chemical straitjacket.
Hi, guys.
Remember that kid in school who had all the answers?
No, it was about a girl who told her story or whatever.
In Mr. Moy's honors history class, her name is Saida Brown.
It right here says in the book, Methodist Health.
The Coronado High School sophomore values education, like first-time drivers cherish their wheels.
What makes it click with me that I have to get an education is because I know how it is to live in poverty.
Born to a drug-addicted mom, Saida entered foster care at 14 years old when a family member discovered she was cutting herself. Frequent admissions to mental health facilities followed, along with multiple psychiatric diagnoses.
I was on so many medications. They had me on medications that zoned me out. Like, my grades in school mean so much to me, and they would send me to school on Thorazine.
On Seroquel, Haldol, and Depakote, just to name a few, says Saida. Powerful mood-altering drugs, some of them not approved for use on children.
The medicine was making it worse, and I was like, I don't need any pharmaceuticals to help me, you know, cope with life. I just need someone to sit down and talk to me, you know?
An I-Team review of state insurance records suggests Saida's experience is not unique. In 2007, one in five kids in the custody of state or county agencies was prescribed one or more psychotropic medications, including more than 80 children 5 years old or younger taking powerful antipsychotic drugs.
I think that's too many.
Dr. Norton Reutman is a child psychiatrist.
The risk is that we just don't know the long-term effects of many of these pharmaceuticals on kids because it's not really measured. The antipsychotics in particular.
Reutman is among a growing chorus seeking more oversight of the process by which children in the system receive medication. A bill before the state legislature would require parental consent or court approval before psychotropic drugs can be used on the youngest foster kids.
It's just like in grammar school. You got to show your work. You have to show that you've gone through the necessary steps in order to overprescribe. Really, in order to put a kid at risk, you have to be able to justify that.
Reutman acknowledges, of course, some children benefit from medication, but insists a lack of resources contributes to overuse.
I decided that I wasn't going to be a guinea pig anymore.
With the support of her foster mom and a talk therapist, Saida stopped taking her pills.
That was kind of my turning point when I started to get on track.
Saida's fellow students recently elected her junior class president.
Girl, I'm famous, girl.
And her academic achievement puts her among the top of her class.
What are you doing? I totally didn't mean that.
At 17 years old, she may not really have all the answers, but Saida will be the first to tell you she has some of them.
Everything is not going to be okay unless you push yourself to keep going.
Clark County Family Services Director Tom Morton has conducted his own research into this issue. Among his findings, 55 children in county custody under the age of 6 are on psychotropic medications, including among them a 2-year-old diagnosed with 3 different disorders taking 5 different drugs. Policy changes are underway to keep the agency more informed about what kids are taking, and in the future, all medication requests will be renewed by clinical staff.
Some amazing
Yeah.
Where does the legislation stand?
Well, at the moment, there are 2 competing bills. Mm-hmm. One would require new policies. The other would allow for some court intervention. And it's unclear at this point which one is going to make it out.
Thanks, Colleen.
Morning, Marshall. Morning, Doc. So we're discharging you today. How are you
feeling? Anxious.
Anxiety.
Well, anxious to get home, anxious to get back into the world. Nervous.
Nervous? Come on, Marshall, you're a big boy now. Sounding like a bit of a baby. You can do this. You found a sponsor yet?
Not yet, but I mean, when I get back...
Well, if you find one, you find one. If you don't, you don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, I gotta start going to meetings first and... Wait, what?
Well, I mean, you don't absolutely have to go to meetings. I mean, it's not like a requirement if they fit into your schedule. I know you're a busy person.
Well, yeah, but I thought sobriety was the most important
thing. So what
thing.
Else are you thinking?
Well, I know I've got to start practicing the steps and, I mean, learn them and start being able to apply them.
Steps?
Yeah, the steps.
There's a lot of them, aren't there?
Well, 12. But...
Christ, I don't even know them all.
Really?
Anything else?
Well, I mean, the only other question I have is, like, what do I do if I find myself in a situation where maybe somebody's drinking around me or something like that, and I get tempted to...
Take a drink.
What?
Take a drink and, you know, and take the edge off.
Take the edge off? Man, if I have a drink, I already know what that's going to lead me to.
What, you mean these?
Man, what the
fuck? What's the matter, darling?
Oh, no,
having some doubts,
no,
are we?
No, come on,
Marshall,
man.
You can't leave. Please never leave me. Marshall, we'll always be together, Marshall.
No!
Marshall!
No!
I want to publicly apologize. There's a skit off of Eminem's album. Eminem is in tune with this thing. Folks prescribing drugs left and right for our babies. Government funding cut for counseling and a type of therapeutic engagement that the young people themselves want and that would probably do a better job than drugs. If you have any personal stories with this, let me know. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Take it up. Robin Howell has a organization. She has a nonprofit out in Columbus, Ohio. She gave me a lot of information here to read. They're providing jobs, housing for the homeless, as well as computer and job readiness training. Robin, is this the web address, New Hope for Tomorrow? If that is, I'll give everybody that web address. They can learn more about what you're doing. Sounds good. Just confirm that that's the web address and I'll give it out, Robin. We're headed into hour number two. That was quick. I don't need no psychotropic drugs. I got beds like this. June 10th, 2009, CedricMuhammad.com, BlackElectorate.com, BlackCoffeeChannel.com. Send in your comments. Comment boxes have been resurrected. I want to read something from the Washington Post on Saturday. Stuck at unemployed. Just ringing a bell. When a layoff becomes a lifestyle. Stuck at unemployed. Hold on. Let me let you feel this article. Stuck at unemployed when a layoff becomes a lifestyle. This is why I'm writing a book on entrepreneurship. You are all going to be touched by the phenomenon called entrepreneurship by necessity. And they are understating the unemployment numbers. As you all know that. That's nothing new. Article says, when Matthew Thomas of Alexandria was laid off in September from a downtown Washington advocacy group, he wasn't too worried. The 49-year-old office worker had severance and never had trouble finding work. He sent a few resumes out, signed up with a temporary agency, and waited. His severance ran out. The proceeds from cashing out his retirement savings ran out next. He filed for unemployment benefits. Those expired a couple of weeks ago. He received an extension, which was to start last week. When the check was late, he called the unemployment office frantic. I have up days and down days, he said. I keep trying to tell myself this is my only moment away from work. I have to do my damnedest to enjoy it. The pace of job losses may be slowing. The government reported yesterday that employers shed a net 345,000 jobs in May, far less than economists had expected. But for Thomas and other U.S. workers, things feel like they're still getting worse. The unemployment rate is now at 9.4%, and a record 27% of the nation's 14.5 million jobless have been unemployed for about 6 months or longer. Many are only now seeing their unemployment benefits expire, their homes falling into foreclosure, and their lives upended. The ranks of the long-term unemployed are not expected to recede until job growth picks up in earnest, and if past recessions are any guide, that's not likely to happen. How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to wait to sit down with your family and friends and start talking entrepreneurship?
Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program. Cedric Muhammad.
Something going on. I feel funny, can't tell me nothing different. My nose twitching. Intuition setting in like Steve Vision. I still close my eyes, I still see visions. Still hear that voice in the back of my mind. So what I do, I still take heed, I still listen. I still paint that perfect picture. I still shine bright like a prism. My words still skipping through air. I know you can't, don't, won't get it. You chose to ride that ship, salt with it. I'm still afloat. I ain't the captain of the yacht, but I'm on the boat. I ain't
Cedric Muhammad.
I'm not knowing that I don't. You acting like you will, but I know you won't. You won't. I read between the lines of the eyes of your brows, your handshake and matching your smile.
Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program. Cedric Muhammad.
Staring at hammers, ready to go bananas. Two vests on me, two extra clips on me. I know my mind ain't playing tricks on me. I ain't skits, homie. Ain't nobody drop a mic on me. It's like they try and plot and sit on me. I hear this voice in the back of my mind like Mac, tighten up your circle before they hurt you.
Cedric Muhammad.
Body language, 85% communication, nonverbal. 85% swear they know you, 10%. Man, the other 5 times I'ma show you, just know you. Can pull a strings, you the puppet master. Some other bitches, man, watch you, you puffin' after. Play your cards, go against all odds. Shoot for the moon, if you miss, still amongst those stars.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
Can you feel me? Can you feel it? Can you feel it floating? Foul preacher quoting scriptures for revelation. Just talk getting got the devil waiting. Body getting stiff, soul levitating. Why do I speak blasphemy? Knowing one day that will ask for me. Ask for my sins. No one to feel his wrath for me. I go through it so you wouldn't.